Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
With my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got that stuff running around my throat again tonight. So just stick with me. The good Lord will help me move things aside until we can get this service over anyway. But you know, we were talking at the last service about how we're entering in to the season that really causes man to do more lying than any other time of the year. Pardon me. I haven't got a cold. It's just that some of my medicine or something is causing this drainage. I'm trying to figure out which one of them it is, but so far I haven't found out. Anyway, we had talked about it, so I want to start from the beginning, which means we're going to be going back even 400 years before Christ was born, because I want you to really get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to really understand the working not only of Him and His ministry, but of the ministry and of what we have today. And there's been so much of that missed. We're going to be hitting some things that you're going to know. You're going to say, well, why do we just have to keep going over it? Because the more you go over it, the more it gets in the heart. The more it gets in the heart, the more you can remember it, and the more good it will do you. But anyway, I'm going to read to you here, all the way back to the days of Isaiah. We're going to be ending up with Luke. But right now, I'm going to read to you in Isaiah 53. I'm starting here. With verse 1, says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's letting us know right offhand that God should have given us a revelation and did. He'd also give Isaiah this revelation, and now Isaiah is sharing it with you and I, but it was for our day and time. It really wasn't for his time. Because none of this came about until our time, the time of the New Testament church. Most people really don't know how to study the Bible. And it makes it hard for them to get the right decisions and the right understanding as they do read. We need to read the whole Bible, but there's a lot of it that is not for you and I. And we are told in the scripture, in the New Testament, to rightly divide the word of truth. Most has taken that as meaning they should take a verse here and a verse there and a verse over here, sit down and take 2 or 3 days, figure out and plan out a service by making it say what they want it to say. This is what's happened to our churches. That's not what he meant. He meant when you are studying his word to rightly divide it. Who is he talking to? Who was he dealing with where you're at? You see, from Genesis through the Old Testament to Malachi, that's what it is. It's the Old Testament. It will include before the law and time of the Mosaic law. The book of Malachi is a small bridge between the Old and the four Gospels in the New Testament. It's a bridge. Now, your four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not New Testament. Those four Gospels are the teaching of Jesus, getting the people of that day and time ready for what was about to happen, which was his death, his resurrection, and the starting of the New Testament church age. Then from the book of Acts back to Revelation, is your New Testament. And Revelation is a warning to you and I about the last of the church age and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. And when you understand that, then as you read, you know whether he's talking to you or someone else, but it all helps to build your faith, just like what we're going to be on this evening. Here in Isaiah 53, God is giving Isaiah something that was to come about to make a change of the way God was going to be working with mankind. Isaiah was not to even see it, because it didn't come about for 400 years. As we read, though, we're finding that the Lord revealed to him, and here in verse 2 he says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." He's talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. "And as a root out of dry ground, he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Well, we know that when he did come in to the world, was born into the world, when he was born, he was born with a king that wanted him destroyed. Think about that. Being born with somebody wanting you destroyed before you ever really start your life. And that's what was to happen. And this was even foretold 400 years before it did happen. Now, verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." And all through his life here on this earth, that is what, and the way he had to live. He lived with people rejecting him, people hating him, people lying about him, lying on him, denying him. Yes, he had some followers, and it was a good thing. But this was all for one purpose. And that purpose was for you and I. It was to give us something way beyond what man had, and to make a way that was a lot better than what they had at the time he came into the world. And it was a lot better for you and I, because it was something that we could really use here on this earth to make our life a lot better, but also giving us the power to make heaven our home and not have to go to hell. Well, we're told that in that place, all that goes on there was torment to the extent that it caused weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we know from other places in the Testament and what one that was there even said about it. Now, for he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And while he was here on this earth, they were those that disregarded him to the extent that they even proclaimed that he was of the devil. And we still have some of that going on today even. But there was a lot of it in his day while he was here on this earth. And it was all foretold to all of those that were really affected by it should have known better, because they had most of the word from the old prophets. But see, they didn't accept that either. Just like today with us, as we teach and as we talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Word of God, about Almighty, our Heavenly Father, about His Holy Spirit, the stronger we work with them, the more we are rejected, lied on, and the more people don't want us around. And they'll do whatever they can to shut you up. Because you see, that's Satan working through them. But as we see here, we're seeing all of this, word by word. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. How many today is believing anything so far that we have covered? Not many. That's why we are not seeing verse 5 really at work in our churches. And in most lives. Because they reject it. They think, and they'll tell you, oh, that's just a storybook, and that's just stories. Well, this story was told 400 years before Jesus was born. Yet it's accurate to the very word. There's no mistaking about it. And as we get in, over into the Gospels, we'll see you. As we go through the Gospels, we will be seeing just how accurate this prophecy was. Now, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God put all of our sins, our iniquities, on him. He took them all to the cross with him. And he is the only one that can give us the forgiveness for them. He's the only way you and I can ever make heaven our home. We're told in the book of Acts how to get there, what it will take. When Peter come out of that upper room on the day of Pentecost, after they all been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter come out preaching to a large crowd that just days before he had hid from. And now he's coming out and even pointing an accusing finger at them and letting them know what they had done. And at the end of it, then they ask him, at the end of that message, they ask him, what must we do? What must we do to get to heaven? What must we do to be saved? Peter told him. He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in Jesus' name. Yet most of our churches today do not baptize you in Jesus' name. They baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is baptism of repentance that John was doing, which was good for that day and time, but it was that the Lord came to fulfill. And it's his blood that covers you and I. That is why the New Testament age has been set up, and it is covered by Jesus' blood. And that is the only way you and I can get to heaven. We have to be baptized in his name. All baptism, you don't have to be baptized. That's just a symbol. We've got a lot of churches out there today telling you that. You don't even have to be baptized, really. It's just symbolic. No, because you see, we are now dealing with the spirit and the spiritual world. And the only way we can get to heaven is by going through him. And when you are baptized, you're baptized in water, you're buried with him, you're putting on his death, you're putting on his resurrection, his burial. And most don't even tell you that when they baptize you. They take you and dunk you and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Raise you up and tell you you're saved. All they done is took you in a dry center, brought you out a wet one. Then we got all these churches that'll sprinkle you. You don't bury something by putting I've come to a dirt on. That's why we emerge. And when you go through the book of Acts, you'll see several times where as people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ rightly, and they were asked how they were baptized. They said they were baptized by John's baptism, and they took them and rebaptized them. Think about that. You see, when you really get into the Word, it doesn't matter how many times you read it or how much you know the words, it is how much of it has stayed with you and has gotten into your heart. Because we are saved by the heart. Nothing else. It's our heart, our spirit, that soul. That's who we are. This flesh is a house. It's a home. That's why Jesus told us, and we're told several times in the New Testament, that he lives in, pardon me just a moment. I've got to get rid of this. I had to do something to calm this drainage down. I'm hoping to find this medication that, in fact, I'm hoping to quit it all. But get rid of this drainage. But anyway, we don't really see who he's talking to, at what time he's talking to them, so we're easily deceived. Because it does. I was telling you about rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you take what we've been talking about here the last couple of seconds in order to give you an example of what I'm speaking about. He told us to rightly divide the word of truth. That's so we'll know. Because when it comes to baptism, Jesus was sending his disciples out. And he came and spake to them. This is in Matthew chapter 28. And we start here with 18. Jesus came speaking to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He's always with us. And he's going to be with us to the very end of the world. But you see, they had to baptize that way because they were still under the law. Jesus had not paid the price yet. He was still living and walking here on this earth. He had not ascended back to heaven. So that wasn't meant for you and I. Because when that happens, on the day of Pentecost, when that Holy Spirit came to be with man, Peter preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. And pointing fingers and everything else. But when he finished, they asked him, what shall we do? He was going on down here. And we just dropped down here to 35, verse 35 of Acts chapter 2. He says, until I make thy foes thy footstool, therefore let all the house of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Same people he had hid from, he's now accusing them and letting them know what they've done. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, how? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord there, that was the beginning of the church age. He had paid the price. He had died, been buried, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit back to be with us. And the church age was just beginning. His disciples now was going to have to change, and they was going to be teaching a lot different than what they had. Does that mean that we can't go on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. You see, God's word lets us know who he's talking to and what it was meant for. But we need to rightly divide that word, because that's what gives us the greater understanding, is in knowing who he is and what time dispensation that word was meant for. And when we do that, it brings us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and gives us a greater understanding of him, even. Now, getting back here with our chapter 53, he goes on to tell about what happened at his trial, even. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But when we get into the four Gospels, and we're going through his trial, and Pilate was trying to get him to defend himself, he wouldn't do it, would he? He wouldn't say a word. He opened not his mouth, just as was prophesied 400 years before he came to earth as a baby. He was stricken from prison. They were taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was, he's crucified. And he was done so for you and I. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. It was our transgressions, not his. He was a man, lived here on this earth 33 and a half years, and went to the cross without sin, without any anger even. No grudge. He wasn't holding a grudge even against those that was putting him through all that pain and torment to crucify him and those that had beat him. From the cross, he looked up and prayed to the Father and told him, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of us does that? Yet that's what we're supposed to be doing. No to hold no grudges, no hate. 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Well, we know it was the rich man that gave him the tomb, but he's also a follower of his. But he was put in a tomb just like the wicked was. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Man without sin, 33 and a half years here on this earth, went through what he did and done it without any sin. He was an example, letting you and I know that we can live without it. We don't have to have it. And if we have it, we're going to go to hell. If we keep carrying it and keep doing it, we don't get that forgiveness through him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Jesus' soul is now being made an offering for sin, for our sin. He shall seek his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall appear in his hand. We got two more verses, and then we'll be done with this. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He's going to do what? He's going to take all my iniquities, all my sins. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He took it all, right up and including death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Yeah, he was hung between two on the Golgotha that day. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He is our way of having salvation. Our way. We don't think about that. But that's the truth. And that is of God's word. Now, We're going to come over here, Luke. We're going to start the story. And we'll see how much of that prophecy, 400 years, it was made before. As we go through, we'll see just how much of it came true. I know it all did, but a lot of them out there don't. But we're going to see. Now, going to be in Luke 1. We're going to start now because, you see, when God has got a plan for mankind, he always makes that plan complete. That's why when he tells you and I to do something, we don't have to worry. We may think, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Or I haven't got a way of doing that. He's already took care of that. Now here, we're getting ready for this change. We're getting ready for him to come to earth now as a babe. But even before his birth, God had planned another one. But we're going to start with verse 5 of chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. In other words, Elizabeth, up to this point, had never been able to have a child. She was what they considered being barren. She couldn't conceive. And they both were now well stricken in years. Yeah, now they even passed the age of childbearing. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was one of his duties in the ministry. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John." Now here, once again, we got an angel standing talking and giving him a prophecy when all of mankind and all had told her she was barren, she couldn't have children. How easy would it have been for her to deny that? Now, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now today they want to kill our unborn babies. They kill them while they're still in the womb. They call it abortion. They claim it's a woman's right. There ain't nothing wrong with it. That it ain't life until it comes into this world and draws breath. This lets you know that's not so. He was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. He hadn't even been born yet. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. You see, because he had a job to do. And this is letting us know about his job. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was making a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was to be doing. That was his job, helping to bring people to the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Well, we know that's so, because Zechariah was getting up close to 100-year mark, and she was well in her 90s. That's way beyond childbearing age. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. You see, because he questioned it. He questioned how that could happen. Now, he asked for proof. Now, he's going to have proof. You shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. All through her pregnancy, Zechariah could not speak. God had taken his voice. He asked for a sign. He got it. Probably one he didn't want, but he got one. And it's because he didn't believe him. He says here in verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. It's going to be fulfilled in their time. But because you wouldn't believe me, you're not going to be able to speak. All through her pregnancy, Zechariah can't talk. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He's feeling kind of foolish right now, I imagine. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now when his work there at the temple was done, he went home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. She's counting it as a blessing, because now she's not barren any longer. Now she's going to have a child. And she knows that the child is actually one that's going to be one to follow the Lord God. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Well, we know she was a virgin. She was a very young lady, in fact, Mary was. But she's betrothed to Joseph. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, she's not denying him, but she's wondering about what kind of salutation this is. Why is he here? What's he here to share with me? Really, what it amounts to. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's telling her all about it. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary. Mary asked him a question here. It wasn't a doubt. She just asked him a simple question. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She hadn't been with men, so she said, How can it be? She's betrothed to Joseph, and after they get betrothed, they cannot move in and get married for a year. That's the way it was then. I don't know how it is actually by Jewish law today, but then that's the way it was. Now, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Because, you see, Jesus had no earthly father. Joseph actually would have been his stepfather. Now, because God was his father. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now hear this young lady, engaged to a man. She's to be with a child before marriage, which meant that in that day and time, they could have taken her out and stoned her to death because she would have been considered, that baby would have been considered illegal because it wasn't Joseph's. They had figured she was with another man and living in and had committed adultery. And adultery in that day and time meant death. Yet, she said, let it be. She did not deny it. She said, let it be as the Lord. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All right. Got a few more verses, and then we're going to close. Well, we got a whole lot of things yet. Now here's verse 39. It says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Now, show you something. She is just now pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth was 6 months along in her pregnancy. So John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus, earthwise. Now, but I want you to see what happens when she saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. When she heard this, that baby John leaped at 6 months of pregnancy. He leaped in the womb with joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why is it that you've come to me when you're the mother of my Lord? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now they want to abort these babies, and at 6 months of pregnancy, that baby leaped with joy. Knew what was going on. They want to say there ain't no life there. And we killed over 66 million of them. Now, and blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And we know we're going to stop there. We'll be picking up there later on. But it is time that we really take a look. Not just read these words, but let these words sink inside so that we can know our Lord and Savior a lot more intimately, with a lot more love for what he's went through for you and I. Because you see, he didn't have to come to us that way. He didn't have to take on the form of man at all. But he did. He did so because the Father, and he loved us so much. And yet today, mankind is wanting to disregard anything that has anything to do with this holy book. And our churches are preaching contrary to most of it. They'll use a verse here and there, yes, in order to just take it and make it say what they want to say. They take it out of context so it will change. Because if they leave it in the context, it don't say what they want it to say. And we find that as we go through the New Testament, we find that in a lot of places. We're going to be going now through the New Testament again. And as we get there, you're going to see all of this change and just how it came about and what it really means for us, especially those that are hungry and seeking after the Spirit of Almighty God. This is something I really want you to think about. Really put some time in. Think about it. And you can go back and read over it again even. It won't hurt. But every time you read it, God will talk to you and let you see and understand. And it gives you something that's the only way you can get it. And get that love of Almighty God. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word tonight, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for a time that we can come together to share your word. But Father, you know that there was one that has put us out of our church. We're in need, Father, of a place so that we can reach more. We can get together right now, Father, as we are. But our numbers, Father, we want to grow. And where we're at, those numbers can't grow much, Father. You know what our needs are. You told us that you would fulfill our needs. We're standing on your word, Father. We're putting our trust and all of our love and our praise, honor, and glory in you. Now, Father, fulfill our needs. And each one of us, Father, we stand in need of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that by his stripes we are healed. Now, Father, we're claiming this healing for ourselves. And we know that you don't lie. You don't misguide. It's all truth. And Father, we are laying claim to that healing power in Jesus' name. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we're told to pray for peace for them, and we do, because we hold them in our hearts. They are your chosen people, Father, and we love them because they are the ones that have given us what we have of you, Father, so that we can hold it in our hands and share and to study and to have knowledge, because we know that it comes from you. As you gave them, Father, the word and had them to put it down, to record it. Father, we know that it's all truth and that it all works. And we do pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we know that a lot of Israel is still trying to live by the law. We pray that they will see, Father, that their eyes be opened. They will see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will confess their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land, Father of ours, that has turned its back and walked so far away. No excuse whatsoever, Father. Only some wicked people wanted to take Jesus out of every place he was in. And they were sitting in offices and things to where they could get it done. Father, you know, as I know, and as I bring up now, it only took one woman with no child in school to take prayer and Jesus out of school. And now they took him out of every place he was in. They don't want his name used nowhere. And Father, help us to remove from office those that are out to destroy this nation and to bring in a nation that is filled with evil instead of being filled by Jesus. And help us to replace, Father, those with ones that will work for you and will help us to put Jesus back into every place he was taken out of, and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being, Father, your word and the whole and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I'm praying tonight for Kenny. Touch him, Father. Touch him mightily and greatly. He fights with Satan like I do, Father. Dennis Lee. Dennis is a young man, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, will give him that fire that is needed. The fire of the Holy Spirit, Father, to bring about everything that you ask him to do, Father. I pray, Father, for him to grow closer and closer each and every day. Keep him safe, keep him in health, Father. And Terry Coates, Father, I pray for him. You know what's wrong with him. We don't. We know, Father, what it stemmed from. But we don't know what is going on now. We lift him up in prayer this night, though, Father. And we put him under the power and healing power of Jesus. But Holy Spirit, work with him so he will do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. For James Taylor, Father, keep him. Keep him in health, Father. Fill him with thy spirit. Guide him in the right ways. Help him as he makes decisions through the day. And Father, myself, you know my needs. I'm standing on your word. And Father, I know those needs will be met according to your will and your way. My wife, Father, you know her problems. You know how come her with them. You know she is a woman that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the two doctors messed up and brought this about. Touch her, Father, with thy healing hand. That healing power. May the Holy Spirit keep her safe and restore that health. Now, Father, for all of our families, we all have family members that are not close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got family members that are even lost. Father, may the Holy Spirit be able to work with them, to turn them from their evil ways, Father. Give them a hunger for the Lord Jesus. Let them come to Him and find salvation and a way of life. Bless this home of mine, Father. Keep it filled with the Holy Spirit. Let all that pass through this door feel the Lord Jesus Christ's presence here in this home. Now help us, Father, to find a place, a better place, a place to where we can get more in, a better place to work, Father. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And bring us all back together again, Father, come Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, James, your computer's out there by a car.
Out there by the car?
It's in the car.
Oh.
In the back seat.
Back seat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that, Katie.
I told you I'd go get it. I was about to back out, though. Cold as it was.
Oh, yeah, it'd be cold.
You know me, I don't like cold.
You need it now?
Huh?
Do you need it?
No. No, you'd give it to the church, you know. But we wasn't using it at the church anyway.
I don't want me an Indian.
So now you need it. And but this is what I use for the church.
Okay.
And I've got another tablet even. Because I do want to try, and I may try that while Kenny's in. I do want to get on either Facebook or YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We were on YouTube there for a while.
Yeah.
But now YouTube is saying something. Kenny was telling me something about for you to get on that now free of charge.
Well, Facebook.
Like they had it, that you have to have 100 followers.
Oh.
But if they don't charge too much, I still want to get on it, even if we do have to pay some, you know.
Alrighty.
And but now you go out there now. It's right there in the back seat on the driver's side.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that.
And you be careful going home.
I'm going to try to. I'm going right back the way I got out here. Slow and easy.
Huh?
Slow and easy.
Why?
Slow and easy.
Yeah, you can, well, you can go through.
I'm going.
710?
Yeah.
That takes you right where you turn in to go home.
Yeah.
Well, be careful.
I will. Thank you for the service. Marlene, have a good night.
You too,
huh? Thank you. I'll talk to Millie tonight.
I'm going to shut this door now.
All right.
If something happens, you have to come back for a knock.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
It is cold out there.
Yes, it is.
And you know me, I can take some good cool air, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, now I got to get off of this thing. Close it all down. And that's a job in itself.
Yeah.